As a church and as a people, we are deep into the season of Advent, as we have just been reminded. It's hard to believe that Christmas is only, a week and a half away. I feel like the month has just flown by for many of us. And as Advent is here, we are preparing spiritually for the coming of Jesus, but we're also doing tangible acts of preparation. We're making cookies for people, we're wrapping gifts, making plans to visit family and friends. And there's a lot of excitement that comes with the anticipation of Christmas, as our younger friends shared with us a little bit ago. I know in our house, decorating is when it really starts to get real. That's when we realize, oh, like Christmas is coming. Especially when we do our Christmas tree. We love doing our Christmas tree at our house. And I asked permission before I'm going to share this. Because if it were up to Gary, we would leave the tree up all year long, truly. We kind of did leave it up for a little while last year because we moved right before Christmas, so it didn't come down for a couple of months. Because Gary really, really loves Christmas. There have been times in the middle of July, we'll be hanging out or driving somewhere, and he'll turn and he'll say to me, I started thinking about Christmas today, and I got really excited. I can't wait for Christmas to come. Meanwhile, it's 90 degrees outside. For most people, it's the best time of the year. And if it's not the best, they can at least say that it's a fun time of year, despite the hecticness and the busyness that comes with it. But for some, the holidays are not met with happiness or anticipation. For some, they may be met with dread or the weight of sadness. I know for me, the holidays have not always brought excitement for me in my life. There were a number of years where I wanted to just bypass those days altogether and pretend that they didn't exist. Because for me, it was those times of the year that I was fully reminded of my family's complicated dynamics and the broken relationships that I had with others. So it was easier to just not engage at all. Events that were meant to be joyful and bring happiness made me feel anxious and worn down for a long time. And I think it's safe to say that there are many of us, maybe not everyone in this room, but people we know, who struggle during this time of the year. And sometimes the grief or the anger or the despair, whatever it is we're feeling, runs so deep that feeling joy and trying to find that joy feels completely impossible. Isaiah 35 is considered a pre-exile text, and the chapters that precede it talk about the coming judgment of the nations and the coming oppressive rule of foreign powers for the Israelite people. And this is hundreds of years after they were freed from slavery, and the people are still fumbling. They're still searching for their identity and struggling to maintain their devotion to God. The dream and the call of being their own nation, set apart for God, feels like it's slipping away. And I wonder if for many of them, their hearts felt worn down too, if those people struggled to find purpose and joy. We read much later in the Gospel of Luke, a young girl named Mary receives word that she is to give birth to a child and that he will be called the Son of the Most High. And it is during this time that the Israelites again find themselves under the rule of an oppressive power. The people were burdened by heavy taxation, by violence, and by fear. And Mary, this young girl living in a strict patriarchal society, finds herself to be pregnant and unmarried. And this was not just socially unacceptable, this was dangerous for her. She would have been punished for this. Sometimes we find ourselves in the desert. We find ourselves in a life that feels barren or empty. We can't even begin to imagine how we find our way out of it. And if this is something that is speaking to you, I just want to say, it's okay if you're struggling. It's okay if you've been struggling for a long time, because you're not alone in that. What I have come to learn in my life and remember each year, even when it's difficult, is that we can experience joy even while we experience pain. We can rejoice even while we find ourselves in the desert place. In Isaiah 35, it speaks of a time when the people will be restored to themselves and to God. He speaks of a time when the land itself will be restored to its fullness. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. There will be streams in the desert, and the reeds and the papyrus will grow. The eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. And even in the midst of a lot of uncertainty for Mary, she sings praise to God for his goodness and his provision at the revelation of what's happening to her. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. She is joyful, even though this is complicated for her, and she lives in a world that is uncertain. She's joyful about this new life that will be born, and she feels sure that God guides her steps and watches over her. So when we find ourselves in the desert, we can try to hide and pretend it's not there. But often, the only way out of the desert is to walk through it. Sometimes we have to go into the wilderness and reach out for what is on the other side of that. As I was preparing for this sermon, I was reminded of a book that I read a couple of years ago, a book that I very much love and very much identify with in a lot of ways. And it's entitled Wild, From Lost to Found on the Pacific Crest Trail. It was also a movie that came out a few years back. And the book was written by a woman named Cheryl Strayed. This woman hiked 1,100 miles of the Pacific Crest Trail from the Mojave Desert in California to the Bridge of the Gods at the Washington state border. She did this hike when she was in her mid-20s, I think she was about 26, and she did this hike alone, by the way, absolutely by herself. And she made the choice to do it after years of pain and personal chaos. Her mother had died during her senior year of college, which led to her life spiraling out of control. So she chose to do this hike so that she could hit the restart, the reset button. She hiked it alone, as I mentioned. She had no travel companions to talk to. She mentions in the book that the first person she saw was after hiking alone for 8 days through the desert. She didn't have a cell phone. She didn't have an iPod. This happened in the mid-90s. She had nothing with her that would distract her from her thoughts and her feelings. She had to walk through the wilderness and just sit with herself. She knew that suffering would be a part of it, the physical suffering of walking through the elements of extreme heat and cold, the physical uncomfortableness of carrying a pack that was way too heavy for her. But she also had to carry the emotional suffering too. She felt that was why she was there. And throughout the book, she talks about all of the life events that led up to this point. The dysfunctional relationship between her parents, the anger that she was feeling about her mother's death, the shame she was feeling about a failed marriage and choices she had made, and ultimately, for her, the pain of going through life without her mother. But she also shares, mixed in there, that she knew that her spirit didn't walk alone. She didn't go on this journey by herself. She often felt the presence of her mother along the way, seeing signs that her mother's spirit was watching over her. One in particular was a fox. So this hike was so difficult. It was really, really hard. But it also brought a lot of good for her. On page 143, she shares this. Uncertain as I was as I pushed forward, I felt right in my pushing, as if the effort itself meant something. That perhaps being amidst the undesecrated beauty of the wilderness meant that maybe I could be undesecrated. Regardless of what I had lost or what had been taken from me, regardless of the regrettable things I had done to others or myself, or the regrettable things that had been done to me. Of all the things I've been skeptical about, I didn't feel skeptical about this, the wilderness had a clarity that included me. At the end of her hike, Cheryl expresses her gratitude for what she has experienced and for what she has learned from this experience. She stood in awe of the joy that she received from the beauty of the wilderness, but also the healing that had taken place on this journey. In our gospel reading for today, we read about some of John the Baptist's followers coming to see Jesus, and they're asking him if he's the Messiah, the one that John had spoke about. And Jesus talks to him for a minute, and when they leave, Jesus turns to the crowd, and he says to them, "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear fine clothes are in kings' palaces. Then what did you go out to see?" He asks this question two or three times. And I think what he's really asking the crowd is, what is it that you're really looking for? Are you willing to endure the roughness of the wilderness, and in some ways the roughness of John the Baptist, and acknowledge it for what it is and face it, in order that you can see what God has to show you on the other side of it? Our spiritual journey through Advent is one of waiting and reflecting. We examine our hearts and we clear away the things that crowd out the peace and the joy that Christ's birth brings. And it can be challenging and it can be painful. It can lead us to look at things in our life that we didn't know were crowding our hearts. And some of them are things we did know, but really didn't want to give them up. But we go into the desert and we make room for the fulfillment of life that God wants us to possess. There are possibilities for joy even in the desert, because we know that we don't walk alone in that. God is present with us just as he was present with the Israelites in exile, and just as he was present with Mary. And God puts people in our lives to walk us through that journey and care for us, just as he did for the Israelites, just as he did for Mary, and just as he did for Cheryl. The moments of joy that we can experience are what keep us walking. They don't need to be shut out. And that joy might look different for everybody. Maybe it is as simple as just putting up the Christmas lights when you don't feel like it. Maybe it's going out with a friend, a good friend. Maybe it's the solitude of being in nature. Maybe it's seeking true healing for hurt, even though it's scary to do that. Whatever your joy may be, I encourage you to reflect on that and to live into that. Because it is in those moments that we remember the deeper joy that sustains us. The joy that goes beyond just feeling happy. It's the joy that brings us hope. And if you find yourself in the desert, pray that you would reach out for that joy, because the joy will see you through to the other side. Amen.